When a teenager vanishes from her Adirondack summer camp, two worlds collide. Author Liz Moore transports readers into a thrilling drama richly set against summertime in the Adirondacks. Rich in intricate plotting and alive with emotional heft, The God of the Woods follows the mysteries of a dynastic American family, the secrets of the summer camp nestled in their estate, the tragic history of a blue-collar community, and the disappearance of a young girl at the center of it all. Liz Moore is the author of the New York Times best-selling novel Long Bright River, which was a Good Morning America Book Club pick and one of Barack Obama's favorite books of the year, as well as the acclaimed novels Heft and The Unseen World. The new novel is God of the Woods, and Liz Moore will join me in conversation as part of the Saratoga Book Festival this Sunday, October 6th at Universal Preservation Hall at 1:30. She is the fiction headliner of the festival, which runs October 4th to the 7th, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Liz Moore back to the roundtable. Hello, Liz. How are you?
Good. I'm so delighted to talk to you, Joe. I always like talking to you, but this is fun because this book is actually set in and around your region.
Well, that's right, and I want to talk to you about that. What brought you to the Adirondacks as far as a place to set a novel?
Well, I come to the Adirondacks a lot, and I have been coming since I was born. And that's because my ancestors on my mother's side, they moved to the southern Adirondacks in the early 1800s and stayed there for four more generations. And then they basically attempting to be farmers in the region. But I think what my understanding is that Adirondack soil is not particularly fertile soil for farming. And therefore, they settled just south of the Adirondacks in the early 1900s. And that's where my mother was raised and my grandmother was born and raised. And we still have a cabin in the Adirondacks that we go to all the time, and I bring my own kids there, so it's really kind of like a family place for me.
Let's talk about the three worlds that are a part of this novel, very different worlds. You do have a wealthy Adirondack estate. There is a summer camp that is just in the shadow of that estate and quite rustic in nature. And then you have the blue-collar community that that serves those two and that region. That is an interesting trio of things to kind of use as a place to have these characters revolve in and around.
Yeah, I loved, I always like putting different worlds together in my novels because I think there's a lot of built-in narrative tension there. And so the grounds, the novel is really set in one particular fictional place in the Adirondacks. And as you said, there's a great camp built by this dynastic American family that they've named Self-Reliance. And then just down the hill from the great camp is a summer camp that's meant to teach the children of the wealthy survival skills. And then the town of Shattuck, another fictional town nearby, is really sort of all the people in Shattuck serve the family and the camp in one way or another. And I loved the kind of upstairs, downstairs quality that gave the story. It's really an ensemble piece. So there's characters who represent each part of that microcosm, you know, the world of the book. And putting them together and watching what conflicts they would have was really fun as a writer.
And that time frame, 1950s to the 1970s, is really important as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There was a lot going on in terms of, I guess, income inequality, just as there is today, a lot of sexism at play, just as there is today. So one of the themes that the book explores is the way that women can be, especially women of that time, could feel disempowered across every class, across every axis of society. So the mother of the family, the Van Laar family, is a pretty despicable person in some ways and certainly treats her staff very poorly. But she herself has kind of been really confined to one particular role within this wealthy family since she was 17 years old and met the man who would become her husband. And so, you know, I have a certain amount of sympathy for that character, even as I watch her do really terrible things throughout the book.
One of the things that I loved about the novel, and it's such a beautifully written book, but so it starts with a missing teenager, but there are so many layered mysteries here that you tack on that are a part of this story that make it so deep and really engrossing.
Yeah. Every time I write a book, I think it's going to be my short novel, and I never pull it off. So this one is certainly, it's a hefty book. It's between 400 and 500 pages. What I knew the book would be about was a 13-year-old girl who goes missing from a summer camp in the Adirondacks. But when I started to write it, I got really, really interested in her family dynamics, the backstory, the reason that this girl, whose name is Barbara Van Laar, is treated like an outsider within her own family, which is not a spoiler because it's pretty clear right from the start of the novel that that's true. And so I started to ask myself why her family would kind of be keeping her at an arm's length. And the answer came back to me that maybe she wasn't the first child to go missing within this family. And suddenly I had a dual mystery on my hands, which I actively resisted for as long as I could, knowing that it would really make the book much, much longer and more complex, and it would take me longer to write. But ultimately, I kind of decided that that was what was right for the novel. And so I went down that path, keeping a very careful chronology as I went. And I hope it feels very immersive and page turnery at the same time as telling a thoughtful story and playing with theme and all the other stuff that I like to do as a writer.
One of the things that really struck me about it is the fact that the Adirondack Park is 6 million plus acres. And mm-hmm. I think those of us who live near it, live in it or around it and have covered it know that it is very complex and there's a lot there.
Yeah.
And you really dig into that. You look at those, you explore those complexities.
I do, yeah. I loved learning more about the history of actually my own ancestors. I worked with a genealogist who was able to dig up a bunch of really interesting information about my family as I wrote. And I still have family living in the Adirondacks, and I was able to speak with them about their experiences of the 1950s to the 1970s in the region. And I was able to actually talk to my own mother, who has memories of those times. But the book research that I did was fascinating, especially about the creation of the Adirondack Park and the mission of its creation and the way that everybody had a stake in the creation of the Adirondack Park. Some were motivated by noble reasons, like preserving, you know, the fragile ecosystem of the Adirondacks, but some were certainly motivated financially. And it seems to me, and I'm certainly not an expert on history, I've done the research that I needed to do to write this book, but to me it felt that much of the motivation for the creation of the Adirondack Park came out of the fact that it had been discovered by wealthy dynastic American families as a place where they could, you know, make a kind of summer playground. And so it was for their benefit as much as for the benefit of the nature of the other, you know, the trees and the lakes that the Adirondack Park was created. Now, of course, it is a wonderful place to be, and it is very well protected. But at the time, it seemed like there were a lot of different political forces at play, and those themes enter the book as well.
You mentioned a moment ago about that upstairs, downstairs feel to the novel, and it certainly exists. And that's fascinating, too, because, as you say, it's this rich family, but then there are the people who are ultimately there, who are there year-round.
Yep.
That's their home.
Yeah. I guess my family, it's funny, I have personal experience with both sides of that equation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my family, some of my family are year-rounders. My ancestors would have been year-rounders in the 1800s. And yet I now have kind of become a summer person, somebody who visits with my own family but doesn't live there year-round. And so I guess I'm able to imagine both perspectives quite clearly. I also want to be clear about the fact that our home in the Adirondacks is nothing like the Van Laar estate and is quite a small and modest cabin that is slowly crumbling to the ground because it has never been well maintained. But it's still our place and it's beautiful and the land it's on is very, very meaningful. And, you know, so I wanted to write about conflict between year-rounders and summer people, certainly. And I also wanted to write about what draws people to the region, the sheer beauty of it, the sensory details that I had so much fun writing about. And I actually wrote a substantial portion of this novel while in the Adirondacks. And so I was able to kind of just like look out the window and smell the air and see the lakes. And, you know, I felt very immersed in place while I was writing it.
Does that immersion help? I mean, is that a different sense? I mean, obviously you're writing at other places too, but when you do have that immersion, how does it feel different?
It feels wonderful. I mean, writing for me is a true labor of love. I equate it to exercise in the sense that I never want to sit down and do it, but after I've done it, I feel better. And I feel like it's an act of self-realization for me every time I do it. And I think the treat is, you know, 99% of the time writing feels like work, but there's 1% of the time where you do feel fully transported while writing. And those are the moments that I think translate to the reader as well. So the ratio is roughly, you have to write, I think I'd probably also only use about 1 to 10% of what I write in the finished draft. And it is the 1 to 10% where I felt the most immersed writing. And I think that's what translates to a reader as feeling immersive as well.
The name of the new novel is The God of the Woods. Liz Moore will join me in conversation as part of the Saratoga Book Festival this Sunday, October 6th at Universal Preservation Hall at 1:30 p.m. To learn more, visit saratogabookfestival.org. Again, the name of the book is The God of the Woods. It is published by Riverhead. Liz, it's always a great pleasure to speak with you. Congratulations on the new novel, and we look forward to having you in the region.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to be there for the book instead of just for fun. I'll see you. Hopefully I'll see some of you there. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Liz.
All right.
Again, the name of the book is The God of the Woods. It is published by Riverhead. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.